Morning. Today's daf in Zvachim is Pei Ches, and this is the final daf of the ninth parak of the Masechta. We are on Pei Zayin Amud Beis, and we are in the middle of the machlokus between Rab and Rava. Yesterday's daf, we had a debate whether how to view the avir of the mizbeach. Right, Bar Minei Rava Mei Rabba. If you go back to the Amud Aleph of yesterday's daf, Pei Zayin. So the question that was asked from Rava to Rava was Lina Molas Brosh Hashem Mizbech O Eino Molas Brosh Hashem Mizbech. Sorry, I'm two machlokes in back. But I'll tell you the truth. It's good to review this because it's also going to come up again. Do we have a concept of Lina? Lina is where the Yemurim are not placed on the Mizbech. You have the entire night to place the Yemurim on the Mizbech. And when I say Yemurim, by the way, by carbonola, the limbs as well. So you have all night to burn the carbon on the top of the Mizbech. And if in the morning, morning comes and you didn't burn the Emorim, so at that point in time, the Emorim now are disqualified through the psul of Lina. So what if overnight they were on the top of the Mizbech? Are they subject to Lina? And the way that I expressed the question yesterday was, is time a consideration on the top of the Mizbech? The constraints of time as a construct. So is that applying on the top of the Mizbech? So that was the machlokus between Rabba and Rava. So that was one machlokus that we saw yesterday. And the Gemara pointed out that there was no agreement, right? Even though there seemingly was a very good proof in one direction, but there was no agreement. Another point that the Gemara opened up for discussion yesterday, it wasn't a machlokus, but it was just simply a question, is whether or not avir mizbech and mizbech. So again, we know being on the top of the mizbech affords a certain amount of protection. The mizbech is mekadesh. That's been our theme throughout the entire parak. And so another question is that this idea of being on the top of the Mizbech, affording protection, is that being physically on the top of the Mizbech, making contact with the actual Mizbech itself? Do you have to actually be physically touching the Mizbech, or no, just simply being be avir? Being in the airspace on the top of the Mizbech, is that enough to afford that kind of protection? And yesterday, the Gemara entertained both ideas, that avir Mizbech is kimizbech, avir Mizbech lav kimizbech. The Gemara now is going to bring a proof from one direction, maskif la rava. So this is where we left off yesterday. Right in the middle of Pei Zayin Amud Beis, so Maskef La Rava Bar Rav Chanan V'Iyamar Davim Mizbech Mizbech Dami. So the Gemara says, so let's entertain for just a moment that the airspace of the Mizbech is like the Mizbech. So Ola Sa'uf Tepasa B'Machshav Eichim Mishkachala. So we have a carbon Ola bird. Now a carbon Ola bird is done on the top of the Mizbech. We've already discussed this extensively back in the 6th and 7th parakim of the Masechta, that with the Ola bird, so it's done with Malika, and the Kohen is actually going to be on the Mizbech when he does the Malika to the Ola bird. At which point in time he's then going to be sprinkling the blood on the Mizbech, and he's going to be doing mitzui. He's going to be squeezing the blood on the Mizbech. So how can you have a machshavas pigol regarding the Ola? Now, of course, we don't want one. It goes without saying. But in other words, can we at least construct a scenario where it would exist? Because how kalt the Mizbech? Because right now, as you are sitting with the standing on the Mizbech with the Ola bird, you are in the airspace of the Mizbech. You're on one of the ledges. So you're on the airspace of the Mizbech, and you're going to have the following machshava. Let's play this out. The Kohen says, as he's doing Malika, I plan on, well, this is an Ola bird, so he's not going to eat it, but it doesn't matter. I plan on the Mizbech consuming it, chutzes mano, beyond the prescribed time. You're on the Mizbech. So in other words, on the top of the Mizbech, you are now, there's no time. Now, again, we're not talking about Rava and Rava right now in terms of whether there is or there isn't a construct of time on the top of the Mizbeach. Mizbeach is collate. The top of the Mizbeach now is a protective environment. So a carbon can be there for a day, 2 days, 3 days. It's fine. The Mizbeach can tolerate it. So how can one have a machshava of chutzizmano with the bird on the top of the Mizbeach if you consider avir Mizbeach to Mizbeach? So maskal Rav Shimon Barashi alam alam mishkachla kegon da'amar ha'ine malka al-manas la'arid al-machar ula alos al-aktira. So the Gemara says, I don't think it's that much of a struggle. Let's just be a little bit creative. Why doesn't the Kohen say the following? Again, I'm throwing all this under the umbrella of, we don't want the Kohen to say any of this. We just want to know, can any case exist? Now we know a case has to exist because we know that there's a chutzuz mano as it relates to a carbon ola bird. Why doesn't the Kohen say like this? When he shechs the bird, when he does malika to the bird on the top of the Mizbech, he'll say, look, not only do I plan on offering it tomorrow, but here's what I'll do. Tomorrow what I'll do is, with the bird, I'll descend from the Mizbech tomorrow, I'll come back up and I'll sprinkle it, and I'll not sprinkle. And I'll put the blood, I'll put the bird on the Mizbeach tomorrow. So here we have a scenario where he just adds one caveat to his machshava, and that is he'll go down and bring, he'll come back up again. And by doing so, he's no longer under the protection of the Mizbeach. Even if you want to tell me the airspace of the Mizbeach is like the Mizbeach, but incorporated in his machshava is this idea that he's going to go down and he's going to come back up again. Okay, so in other words, so you could do it. We could successfully do it. Okay. Wait, just give me one moment, because all this flows together. So the Gemara says, okay, but we also have to incorporate one other point. And that is, we go back to the machlokus we saw yesterday, that we reviewed in the beginning of this morning. According to Rava, that's fine. So this machshava would be successful in creating a machshava of pigul chutzas manu. By simply declaring the Kohen, I'm going to do the malika with the intent of tomorrow, going down from the Mizbech and coming back up again. But according to Rabbah, it's not going to work. I'll tell you why. Because Rabbah says that there's no lina on the top of the Mizbech, meaning that when you are in the protective area of the Mizbech, not only is the Mizbech able to shelter and hold things that are disqualified, on top of that, there is no time construct on the top of the Mizbech. According to Rabbah, tomorrow morning, when you come down and you come back up again, so it's not going to be chutzas mano, because tomorrow morning, it's as if it never was disqualified through Lina. Rabbah's of the opinion that Lina is not poselus agabe mizbeach. So according to Rabbah, we can't even come up with a scenario of chutzas mano according to Rabbah. But the Gemara says, once again, you can, you just got to be a little bit creative. So what the Kohen has to say in order to actually violate the Isra of Chutzas Mano with the Ola bird is that he says he's going to descend, and he also includes that he's going to descend before Amud HaShachar and then go up after Amud HaShachar. For Lina, the critical moment is Amud HaShachar. So by declaring that he's going to go down before Amud HaShachar and come back up again, so it will no longer be in the environment of the Mizbeach during the Amud HaShachar period. He will be off the Mizbeach during Amud HaShachar, subjecting the bird now to the psul of Lina, and then come back up again. So in other words, even according to Rabbah, there is a scenario in which he can create a Chutzos Mano. So Lahakir Satisha Da'avim Mizbeach, I'm sorry, period. Okay, so it's possible. Meaning, even if you say that the Avrim is Bech is Mech, and even if you want to add to that Rabba's little wrinkle, that the wrinkle in time, the Rabba's little wrinkle, that that being on the Mizbech doesn't even put you in any kind of time restraints, still there is a possibility, there is a way to create a Chutzos Mano when it comes to Nola Bird, so therefore we don't have to conclude in any direction. We don't have to conclude Avrim Mizbech is Kemizbech, and we also don't have to, or otherwise, and we also don't have to conclude either like Rava or like Rabba. Each position can still be defended. Okay, yeah.
The question is, if the guy is actually holding the Ola in his hand, right, why is it an Avir?
That's a great question. Just to repeat, Ben's asking, if he's standing on the Mizbech, doesn't that ground him on the Mizbech? And therefore, we don't even have to get onto the airspace. It's such a good question. The Gemara is going to discuss that in just a moment. It's good. So the Gemara says, well, from the next scenario, let's conclude. Let's conclude that the Avir Mizbech is Kemizbech, because Yisakadach Avir Mizbech Lav Kemizbech. I mean, because if you want to entertain that the airspace of the Mizbech is not the Mizbech, it does not have the status of the Mizbech, so the Gemara says, let's talk about a chatas of bird that's pasul. Rashi over here sets up the scene. Rashi in the top of Peches Amud Aleph. Shemalka Barosha Mizbech Shalol Lishma. What you did with the chatas bird is, while being on top of the Mizbech, you shechted it Shalol Lishma. Again, none of this, of course, is what we would like. But in other words, but we're just simply creating scenarios to see how to view Avir HaMizbech. So the Kohen on the top of the Mizbech with the Chatzos bird. Now remember, Chatzos bird, by the way, not on the, it's not sprinkled on the top of the Mizbech, it's sprinkled on the bottom half of the Mizbech. But he could be on the Mizbech and with the Machshava Shalol Lishma. Remember, by Chatzos, carbon, either animal or bird, Shalol Lishma is going to disqualify it. Upasa. The Afa gav denasas lamata and hamar mar la'el maka b'chol makom b'mizbech k'sheira. Now, again, you don't have to be on the Mizbech to do Malika with the Chatas bird. You could be off, but Rashi says, but that's not the point. The point is, you could also be on as well. You could be on. So, V'lo Parsol, Maladi Day, Ela Bahazam. So, V'heichi Damaka B'psul, B'rosh HaMizbech, V'kamala B'cho HaPsulim, Yimala Lo Yardu. So, Heicha Sher Leymar, Lahazos Midama. So, the Gemara says, now, how would it be possible to sprinkle the blood? Earlier we learned that Yimala Lo Yardu, that if it goes up, it doesn't come down again. So, Hare Magbe Umatiz, Kisha Ochiz Ba, Umaziv Al-Havala Yerud. You see, here comes the problem now. If you're saying that Avim Mizbech is Lavke Mizbech Dami, and the only way it's afforded the protection is by physical contact with the Mizbech, so what's going to end up happening is your Chatzos bird is on the Mizbech, but it's got to come off. Because you're going to have to sprinkle. Sprinkling by definition means I'm pulling back in order to fling the blood in the direction of the Mizbech. So if I'm pulling the bird off the Mizbech, physically off the Mizbech, and I don't say that Avim Mizbech is K'Mizbech, so now we have a scenario in which it's now off and no longer in the protective environment of the Mizbech. This is the Gemara's argument. Havala Yerud, I'm sorry. Hechi Maaz, Midama, Havala Yerud. Sharp Solem, Hechi Zarekleh, Midama. So Demagalahu. So the Gemara right now says, well, maybe you're sprinkling while still having the bird make contact with the Mizbech. The Gemara says, no, that can't be. Ha Hazahi Mitsuhi. That's not Hazah, that's Mitsuhi. There are two procedures that are done with the blood of the bird. One is pressing it against the Mizbech, that's Mitsuhi, and the other one is sprinkling. If I'm having the bird still make continuous contact with the Mizbech on its side when I'm sprinkling, it's by definition not sprinkling. That's Mitsuhi. And Hazrika Shrikahi. And if we're talking about an animal, so that's not Zrika, that's just simply pouring on the base of the Mizbech, which again is fine, but that's not the Iker Kapara. The Iker Kapara is coming through Hazah, both by the bird and by the animal. And the Gemara just simply seems to reiterate, and it's not sprinkling, neither for a bird nor for an animal. So, and here's now where the Gemara makes Ben's point that Ben made just a couple of moments ago. The Gemara says, look, I'll say Avim Mizbech, Lavke Mizbech. The airspace of the Mizbech is not the status of the Mizbech. Over here, however, none of this bothers me. The Kohen is standing on the Mizbech, and basically what he's doing is he's creating a grounding. He is now standing on the Mizbech with the bird in hand, even if the bird's not physically touching the Mizbech, and even if you're going to tell me that Avim Mizbech, Lavke Mizbech, Dameh, but he's standing on the Mizbech, thereby he's grounded to the Mizbech. The bird that's in his hand is considered also physically touching the Mizbech through him, through his grounding. So the Gemara says, so I can still maintain the position of Avim Mizbech, Lavke Mizbech, Dameh, and we're fine. Even though the bird is off the Mizbech, it's not. It's being held by a Kohen standing on the Mizbech, and therefore it's considered connected to the Mizbech. So once again, the Gemara says, we don't have to conclude in either direction. And as far as what is the question that we've been entertaining, the Talina Bekanya, where the bird is being suspended over the air of the Mizbech in a stick, meaning the Kohen's not holding it, but the bird is just being hung on a stick over the Mizbech. It's a strange visual. I'm just providing a visual, like a drone, like a pinata. So the okay, either we're talking about a carbon over here. So it's not the most respectful way to say it, but just to give a visualization. So that's what we're entertaining over here. But if the cone is holding it and the cone's on the Mizbeach, so then we can even say Avim Mizbeach, Lavke Mizbeach. I'm sorry. Give me just one second. Let me just finish. Amar Rav Ashi Idanakalu Berosh Mizbeach Achanami Ki Kamar Detalim Bekanya Mai Teku. And so the Gemara says, okay, so now that we have successfully defended either side of the position of Avim Mizbech K'Mizbech or Avim Mizbech Lav K'Mizbech, the Gemara resolves by saying it's no resolution. Meaning, both positions are defensible positions, and so the Gemara leaves off by leaving this question unresolved.
If you compare it to Shabbat and carrying and Ten Tefach, so if somebody carrying above Ten Tefach is not carrying, right?
So the Gemara
is considered not a public domain.
Right, the Gemara over there has a really similar discussion about.
Should be, maybe it's similar that above the certain distance above the Mizbeach, you can hold it.
You'll forgive me. In other words, you're certainly triggering a memory regarding Shabbos. You're right. There's a 10 tefachim ceiling of Rishos Arabim. Above that, it's not Rishos Arabim. But if
reverse for mizbeach,
but if right, if I remember correctly, but that's an if. So the Gemara over there says, but if you're walking in the Rishus HaRabim, so that which you're holding in your hand, even if you're holding it above, is still considered in Rishus HaRabim. Now, right? Oh, you're right. There are Gemaras that speak exactly about the scenario. Okay, I forgot. Forgive me. I forgot the details of the Gemara over there, but it is a similar discussion. And it's what the Gemara just said that. The Gemara just said. That's correct.
It's interesting, the concept of lack of time and lack of space.
Right.
Lack of space for the...
Right.
Both are creations.
Okay, we are now up to the last Mishnah of the Perek. And again, the idea that items are Mekadesh. Most of this Perek has been dedicated to the topic of the Mizbech being Mekadesh. And now we're up to the topic of Kli Sharis. Now, we touched on this topic earlier in the Perek. We talked about the Shochan. The Shochan of being able to afford the Lechem upon him, that's on the Shochan, this protective environment, so that when the bread is on the, when the Lechem upon him is on the Shochan, so it could stay there for some time, and Ein B'kach Klum. And that's fine, because the Shochan provides protection. And remember, the Gemara just a couple of days ago said, and do we view the Mizbech in the same manner? That it imbues it with kedusha, just like the shochan does so with the lechem upon him, and maybe the mizbech is different because the mizbech is just simply raised ground. Okay, so we did that just a couple days ago, and now the Gemara is talking about kli sharis as being a mekadesh. Now, when it comes to kli sharis, so there is measuring cups for liquids, measuring cups for solids. Okay, in the mizbech, how many liquid measurements are there? So when it comes to liquids, the answer is really simple because, I'm sorry, for liquids there are many, apologies. For liquids there are many, for dries, there is only two, Isaron and Chatzi Isaron. A mincha is flour offering, which is a dry, obviously. So it's measured either Isaron or Chatzi Isaron. Chatzi Isaron, because the Kohen Gadol offers the mincha, but then it's divided half is offered in the morning, half is offered in the afternoon. So therefore, the Isaron is going to divide it into halves. So there is a measuring cup used for the division of the minchas chavitim of the Kohen Gadol. So for dry measuring cups, there's only two, Isaron, Chatzi Isaron. For liquids, there are plenty. Okay, the Rashi later in the Gemara says that there are seven in total. Hin, chatzia hin, shlisha hin, etc., etc. Okay, we are, and what we're going to be learning together is that if I put a mincha offering into the kli sharis that is designed for dry, it's mekadesh. If I put a liquid into a measuring kli sharis that's used for liquid, it's mekadesh. Says the Mishnah, kli alach mekadesh and azalach. Midos yavish mikashin es yavish. Exactly what I just said. You put a liquid into, liquid meaning oil, wine. You put a liquid into a kli halach, it then imbues it with kedushas aguf. You take a solid and put it into a kli sharis designed for the solid, it imbues it with kedushas aguf. Next point in the Mishnah, but they're not interchangeable. If for whatever reason you take the oil or wine and put it into a dry measuring cup of the Isaron or the Chatzi Isaron, it's just simply not appropriate, meaning it's not the right measuring cup, and therefore it doesn't imbue it with Kedushas Guf. Kli HaKodesh in Nikvu, if you have a kli sharis that has a little hole in it, as long as it still retains its functionality, it would be fine. V'kulan ein mekadshin ela b'kodesh. Now, in terms of where it imbues the contents with kedusha, is only b'kodesh, only in the azara. Outside of the azara, the kli sharis does not perform its function of imbuing it with kedusha tzaguf. Amar Shmuel, lo shanu ala midos ava mizrakos mekadshin. Now, in the Beis HaMikdash, there are measuring cups, and there are also just basic bowls in the Beis HaMikdash. For these basic bowls, mixing bowls, if you will, whatever. I don't even have to be that specific. There are simply mizrakos, bowls, basins, that were used for kiddush, for sanctification. But it's not a measuring cup, right? It's like our mixing bowls that we have, that I'm really familiar with. Okay, I said with tongue in cheek, but the I should be better acquainted. So anyway, so Ava Mizrakos Mikadshin Shenemar Shnei Maleim Solus. So in other words, when it comes to these bowls, these basins, so there, because their functionality is more general in nature, so it doesn't matter what you put in there. You could put liquid, you could put solid. It's going to be Mikadish. The only time where we get specific is only for measuring cups. For measuring cups, the dry measuring cups can only be mekadesh dry, and the liquid cup measuring cups can only be mekadesh liquid. So the Gemara says a mincha. How is a mincha to be viewed? Isn't a mincha considered to be something which is lacha? The Torah, when describing it, says belula b'shamen. So the it's mixed together with oil. So in other words, it's extraordinarily thick. But still, it pours. And so from the pasuk, you're telling me that it can accept, that the general basins can accept both liquid and dry, but over there, when we're talking about the mincha is flour and oil mixed together to a point where it's now in a state where it could be poured, with a thick viscosity, but could be poured, and therefore it's lacha. So how'd you arrive at that conclusion? Amar l'nitzcha el aliyavish shabbat. So the Gemara says, no, you're right. In other words, but even when I take the oil and the flour and mix it together, so it's not going to be all liquid. There are still going to be flour particles that are not fully mixed together. And like the new word I learned this week is miscible. It's not okay. I learned the new word. So it doesn't totally get mixed together. And as a result of that, so there are still going to be flour particles, which are still going to be dry, and yet the klisharis is going to be mekadesh them. So Gemara says the proof is a fine proof, or to employ a pun over here, it's a solid proof. Or the Gemara says, look, everything is relative. You're right. In other words, when the oil and the flour mix together, so yes, you're right. It does have, in terms of solid versus liquid. So maybe we could put it slightly more categorically in the liquid, but relative to blood, it's a solid. Now, it's funny because blood also is extraordinarily viscous. But still, when I'm taking the two side by side, so the blood will be a liquid relative to the oil and flour mixed together. Amish mo klisharis in mekashin ela shleimim. In mekashin ela malayin. In mekashin ela mitokhan. So the Gemara says, as far as the klisharis and this ability to give kedushas guf to whatever is going into it, so it has to be shleimim, it has to be full. It meaning full in this context means not pierced, like what we described in the Mishnah. It has to be malayim. It has to be a shir shalem. Shir shalem, full shir. Look at the Rashi first wide line on the Amud Klamar. Shebahem shir shalem hatzarich ledaver. Imiyaveshu shiyeh sham isaron shalem lemincha. Meaning, you can't just simply put a quarter, a third, or even a half of an isaron into a full isaron measuring cup and say it's going to be mekadesh. You must put the full measuring amount in order for the kedusha to work. And number three, in mekashen alam itochan, that which it's going to be mekadesh is only that which is interior. Now there's another version to say over Shmuel's halacha, and that is, as opposed to saying mitochan, we're now going to say mibifnim. Subtle difference. The Gemara points out what the difference is. So when I take, you could certainly see this by dry, even by liquid to a certain degree, right? Or something thick like oil. But if I take a dry measurement, and I put the Isaron into the measuring cup. So if one is to say mitochan, meaning it has to be interior, or the other way to say is mibifnim, it just simply has to be in. But it doesn't have to be within the interior of the frame of the measuring cup. So the Gemara says, Barutzi mito. So now if I have, let's say, it heaps up a little bit. Now if I leveled it off, obviously you'd have the full shear. But in other words, the way I just poured it in, it created a little bit of a mound. So, if I say mitochan, the only thing it's mekadesh is that which is actually interior. If I say mibifnim, it just simply has to be inside, but it can heap on top, and even the top that's over the ledge is still going to have kedusha. Bimastisatan, now in the Braisa, also similar to Shmuel's halacha, ein mekadesh el shleimim maleim u mitochan uvipnim. So here in the Braisa, it says it, but it actually uses both words, mitochan and the term mibifnim. In other words, it could be for the purpose of Mi'ila now, because it's imbued with Kedusha Zaguf. It could also be talking about Pidyon, redemption. In other words, prior to being put into a Klishare, so it has Kedusha, but subject to being Poda. Now, of course, not animals, but I'm saying, but we're talking about Menachos, and oil, and wine. So once it goes into the Klishare, then it's imbued with, now with Kedusha Zaguf. It's no longer subject to Pidyon. You can't redeem it. Now, you put, let me go back to my Isaron measuring cup for the flour. You put you put a full Isaron in, and we just learned together, both versions of Shmuel and the Braisa, it's only going to be Mekadosh when the full Isaron goes in. But let's say you're pouring in the Mincha into the Isaron measuring cup, and right now it's only a quarter full, but you plan on going all the way to the end. As long as the plan is to go to the end and fill it up to the fully saron, so we don't say that the Kedusha Saguf is only there when you get to the fully saron, but as long as the plan is to get to the fully saron, then every little bit that comes in is going to be invested with Kedusha Saguf. Tanya Namihachi, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Malain Ela Shleimim. I'm Rav Yossi Emesab is manchein dat lahosif aval dat lahosif rishon kodesh. And again, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, and the Braisa clearly makes exactly this point. Ein kli alach mikadesh v'chule. Next part of the Braisa, next part of the Mishnah. I'm Rav Yitim Rav Asi and mikachin li kariv aval mikachin li pasel. So it's not going to be mikadesh. It's not going to be Mekadesh to be offered, but it would be Mekadesh in order to subject it to the psalm, in order to subject it to the disqualification. Meaning like this. We learned in our Mishnah that the measuring cups are not interchangeable. Liquid can only be Mekadesh put into a liquid. Solid can only be Mekadesh put into a solid. The Mishnah says if they're inverted, so it's not going to be subject to Kedusha. If I read the Mishnah just on its face value, what it would seem to indicate is no Kedusha at all. The Gemara says that's not true. The Gemara says, quoting in the name of the Rav or Rav Asi, it can't be offered, meaning if you don't put it in the right measuring cup, it certainly does not, it's not invested with the Kedusha that can be offered, but it's given enough Kedusha sensitivity where it will be subject to all the psulim, all the disqualifications. Rashi, what does that mean? Shim yatsa chutz l'klayim. Let's say, if after put into a klisharis, albeit the wrong klisharis, but after being put into the klisharis, if it's taken out of the azar, now subject to yotze, disqualified. Onaga botul yom, or let's say somebody tamei were to make contact with it. So the ahani le kli lahachshir li pasam. In other words, so the klisharis now didn't give it the full kedusha investiture, but it did give it enough so that it becomes sensitive to all these disqualifications. Ike damasin la aha. Now, some take this statement of either Rav or Rav Asi, instead of applying to our Mishnah, apply to a different Mishnah. One does not bring the menachos nesachim or the mincha of an animal from bikurim from meduma. Generally speaking, what is meduma? Meduma is when I have a mixture of truma and non-truma, but not enough to create bittul. The ratio necessary for bittul is 1 to 100. So anytime you have a ratio of truma to non-truma, where the non-truma is anything less than 100, so then there's no bittul, and that mixture is called demua. That is no longer consumable. Now, truth of the matter is kohanim can eat it. That's true. However, for the rest of us, it's not consumable. And I can't take it now and put it on the mizbeach. Now, why not? So Rashi says, I can't take it and put it on the Mizbech because we have a pasuk in Yecheskel. Rashi quotes it, Mimashke Yisrael. The only things you could put on the Mizbech as far as the carbon is concerned are those things which are consumable to you and me. Since it's not consumable to you and me, therefore can't be put on to the Mizbech. Now, it is an interesting Rashi, it's an interesting idea, because what does it mean it's not consumable? Non-Kohanim can't eat it, but Kohanim can eat it. And yet Rashi's employing this idea, it doesn't meet the standard of going on top of the Mizbeach. If all the Jewish people can't eat it, not acceptable to be put on the Mizbeach. That's Rashi.
But many Korban only eat Kohen, not all the Jews. Korban Chata only Kohen.
Okay. I hear you. I'm expressing Rashi. Tosos, right, second to last Tosos on the Amun, I'm not going to go through it right now. He doesn't accept Rashi, he doesn't like Rashi, but the, okay, but I presented Rashi. Ein sarach lomar mi arla klai karim. And it goes without saying that arla klai karim gets mixed up with the menachos, so for sure you can't put it on the mizbeach, and that's easy, much easier to understand, because there literally nobody can eat it. V'imhevi lo kiddush. Now if you bring it, it's not mekadosh. Am ravi tema ravasi. So now, dimua, or arla, or klai karim that gets mixed up in this mixture, you can offer it on the Mizbech because it's no longer Mimashke Yisrael. All that's true. But now we're going to say the same provision that we said earlier. Amar Ravi Temer Ravasi Lo Kiddush LiKarav Ala Kiddush LiPasal. Once again, when put into a Kli Sharis, it's not going to invest it with the Kedusha that can be offered on the Mizbech, but at least now it's given Kedusha sensitivity so that it will be subject to all the disqualifications of Yotze, Tame, etc., etc. Tanu Rabbanan Kli Kodesh Shenikvu ein matichin osan ve'ein matichin lasochan aver. If I have a kli sharis that has a hole in it, a hole big enough where it no longer is functional like it was earlier. So why not just patch it up? You don't do patch up work in the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi writes, it is simply not appropriate. The Gemara later on will say that we don't treat the Mizbech, the Beis HaMikdash, like it's impoverished, like it's poor. So for you and I, a patch job would be great, right? You have one of our pots have a hole in it, and we could just simply hand it over to the smith, and he'll fill in the hole with some sort of lead, some sort of filler. That's fine. Not in the base of Mikdash. Nifkamu ein matakna son. If a knife has a significant pegima, it's got a nick in the knife. It's got like a big one. I say big one because Rashi does. Pegima gedola, Rashi says shetiket hashchazasa nikar. Where even after you fix it, everyone realized that there was a nick and it was fixed over. So once again, the Braisa says no good, meaning it's no longer serviceable in the Beis HaMikdash. Again, we just simply don't. It's not proper derech eretz. Sakin shenifkan emashkin is an espigim asam. I'm sorry, I just read that. Nishmatan machzirin osam. Let's say the blade comes out of the handle. Once again, don't take out the duct tape and just patch it up together. Lava or chara. Abishal Amr Sakin, Mitzarefes Haisa B'Mikdash, V'nimnu Ala Kohanim V'Ganzua. There was a knife that was Mitarefes. There was all these pekimas, serrations in it. Often the time it created a trefa in the carbon. The word trefa over here, an interesting word, choice of word. Meaning, really, it's nevela. Meaning, the shechita is not a good shechita. So consequently, the animal is not treif, it's nevela. Okay. Seemingly a good observation. So anyway, so Haisa B'Mikdash, and it was there in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kohanim, at the last board meeting they had, so they had a vote, and they put it into the Geniza. And I guess the simple idea of the Gemara over here is just simply... Right. This was actually la halacha. Yes. What? I don't know if it's klisharis. I'm not sure if those categories work over here. Tana Rabbanan. Bikti kahuna in osen osam maisa machad. Kohanim's clothing. So it can be sewn together. You take a swatch of fabric. Take another swatch of fabric, and stitch them together. That's not how it goes. Ela maisa oreg. It has to be one woven piece of garment. Shenemar Maisa Oreg Nidgalu Ein Mechavsin. Now, if it gets dirty, so you don't put it in the wash. Lo Benezer V'lo Be'Oel. Now, you don't put it with any kind of detergent. The Gemara says, now, let's stop in the Braisa for just a moment. You tell me, Habamai Mechavsin? Water would be okay. Meaning, why are we speaking specifically about detergent? So, Am Rabbi Hachi Kamar. Hugo Bamai Mechavsin Oso? Beneser v'ol, I'm sorry, mechapsin also beneser v'ol, hugu leneser v'ol, af b'mayim in mechapsin. So the Gemara says there's dirty and there's dirty. If it only gets a little bit soiled, where a simple water treatment would be enough to get the stain out, We can hang on to these big day kahuna, and you could wash it, and you can wash it even with detergent. But if it's the kind of stain where the only way it can come out is through detergent, so then it's not washed. You don't treat it, and not with detergent, not with water. V'yesh omrim, top of peches amud beis, and there are those who say ein mechapsin a so-called ikar she'ein anis b'makom ashiras. We do know not even a spot treatment on the begadim of the kohanim, nothing, meaning any stains whatsoever, and it's simply to be removed. Now we talk about stains, by the way. Kohen avoda in the base of mikdash, it's dirty work, right? In other words, you're shucking an animal, blood is spraying, you're spraying blood. I'm unsure. Just share with you my curiosity of the Gemara. Is when we talk about dirt, are we talking about dirt, meaning like soil? Or even if we're talking about blood? Yeah. It would be difficult to envision that even a blood stain, which is while doing the avoda, would be enough to disqualify the begadim. Tanu Rabbanan, mi'il. Gemara now is going to be taking an opportunity to talk about the begadim of the Kohanim. Me'il kulo shel tcheles hayashenem avias es me'il laifo kalil tcheles. So it's made up of a wool material dyed with the tcheles blue. Shul yav ketzad. Now, when you get to the end of the me'il, what is it going to look like? So maybe tcheles v'agamam v'tolas shani. You take three colors of wool, blue, purple, and red, shezurin, and then you twist them. But also some kemin rimonim shelo pischu pihen, and then what you do is you shape them into pomegranates that are not fully opened up. Ukemin kona oshel kenasu shebaroshi tinokos. The Gemara gives us another imagery to help us like visualize and view what these rimonim would look like at the end of the me'il. It looked like little helmets worn by the children. Right, Rashi over here beautifully describes the children playing a game, and while playing the game, they had to wear helmets. Football. Anyway, umevi shivim v'shnayim zagin shebehem shivim v'shnayim in balim. Then adorned. We're still describing the bottom of the meil with 72 bells and 72 clappers. V'tol behem shloshu v'shisha betzadzer shloshu v'shisha betzadzer. Now this meil basically came down the front, came down the back. Kind of looked like a poncho, and so 72 in total, 36 on one side, 36 on the other. Rabbi Dosa Amar Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Shloshim V'Shishayu Shmonim Ve'Esrim Mitzadzeh V'Shmonim Esrim Mitzadzeh. Some have the version that it was 36 in total, 18 on one side, on the front side, 18 on the back side. Amrav in Yanei Bar Sason. Okay. I'm sure I didn't pronounce it well. I'm sure. So Kemachlokis Kankach Machlokis Ben Maros De Negayim. We also have a debate regarding the number of shades of Tzaras. That Nan. Maros Negarim, Rabbi Dosa ben Hurkanos Amar Lamed Vava Kavya ben Mahala Omer Shivim Mishnayim. A debate in terms of the total number of shades of Tzaras, 36 or 72. Va'amarav in Yanei Bar Sason Lamanis Mecha Parsha Kamarasa Parsha's Big Day Kuhuna. The begadim of the Kohen in Parsha's Tetzave is situated right next to the Karbanos. Lamel Chama Karbanos Mechapim Ma Big Day Kuhuna Mechapim. Really famous Gemara over here. The begadim of the Kohen also provide levels of kapara. Mechaperes, I'm sorry. Ketonis mechaperim al shvichas dam. The ketonis worn by the Kohen, so that provides kapara for murder. Shenamar vayishchatus iri zim vayitbelu es ketonis badam. Yosef. So the ketonis was dipped in blood, speaking to the idea of it providing kapara for shvichas dam. Mechnesai mechaperes al gilu arayu, shenamar vasel lehem mechnesai bad. The pants worn by the Kohen and provide kapara for gilu arayis. Pants, the imagery over here very powerful. Pants obviously covering the erva. Lechasos es besar erva. Mitznefes mechaperes agas eruach. The hat worn by the Kohanim provide kapara for arrogance. Minayin amar Rabbi Chanina yavodav she begova vichaper al gova. Hats worn on the top of the person's head. In other words, an elevated portion speaking to the ego. And it's mechaper on gaiva. Avne mechaper al hirhur halev. The belt is mechaper on hirhur halev. Hecha de isa, because that's where it is. It's closer to. It's situated close to the heart. Not so long ago in the Masechta, we talked about the proper placement of the belt. You remember one Amora made sure that the other one was wearing his belt properly. Actually adjusted. Choshem mechaper al adinim. Choshem worn by the Kohen Gadol provides kapara for any kind of miscarriage of justice. Vasisa choshem mishpat. Ephod mechaper al avodas kochav. The ephod worn by the Kohen Gadol provides a kapara for avodas zarah shenemar ein ephod v'terafim. I'm sorry, ein ephod v'terafim. Terafim is avodas zarah. We saw that by Rachel. Me'il mechaper al lashon hara. The meal worn by the Kohen Gadol provides kapar for lashon hara. Minayin amar Rabbi Chanan yavod avashe b'kol v'yichaper al kol. Al kol hara. Right. The meal worn by the Kohen Gadol produces a sound, and so just like lashon hara produces a sound. V'tzitz mechaper al azus panim. Tzitz worn the head plate worn by the Kohen Gadol provides kapar for azus panim. Chutzpah. Okay. It's a French term. So the bitzitz ksiv hiya meitzach aron uvazus panim ksiv meitzach isha zona hayalach. So in the Gemara says, is this true? Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi shnei dvarim lo matzina lam kapar bekabanus matzina lo kapar memakam acher ve'elohein shichus damim v'lashon hara. Now the Gemara says that no carbon is going to provide any kind of kapara for murder or lashon hara. Kapara comes from other avenues. Shichus damim me'egla rufo. So as far as whatever provides kapara for shvichas damim now goes without saying, but of course I'll say it. When we talk about shvichas damim over here, we're not talking about intentional murder, right? No carbon, no other source is going to be providing kapara. We're talking about shvichas damim that was done by shogeg. And also, we could talk also about maybe the effects of shvichas damim, meaning aside from the actual murderer himself, the people that were either direct accomplices or even indirect accomplices, meaning there's a certain effect created by murder, and so over here we could be maybe talking about the kapara for its effects. Lashon hara mikateres. I'm sorry. Let me read that better. And lashon hara mikateres, and the kapara provided for lashon hara is coming from the kateres. Didni Rav Chanan yiminan lekateres shemechaper shenemar v'itenes kateres v'echaper al alam. Gemara quotes a pasuk in Shlach, in Parsha Shlach. And if it need to be Rabbi Yishmael, Amak Ketores Mechapers, a Lashon Hara. It's Mechaper for Lashon Hara. Yavod Avashab Echashav, Yechaper Amasech Hashai. So let something which is done privately, Ketores, which is in the Heichal, provide the proper Kapara for Lashon Hara, which is done privately. So Kash Lashon Hara, a Lashon Hara, Kash Shefichos Damim, Shefichos Damim. Where's the source of Kapara for these two Averas? So we are confused. So on one hand, we said that it's being provided by some of the clothing of the Kohen, Gadol. On the other hand, we're talking about Egla Rufa and Ketores. Lo kasha had yada man katle, had lo yada man katle. So the Gemara says, well, the distinction is where we know or we do not know who the murderer is. Idi yada man katle bar katalu. So b'meziv ala asrabe. So the Gemara says, no, even if we know who the murderer is, and he did it intentionally, but he was not, no warning was issued, so we're not going to be able to put him to death. What's going to be providing the kapara? And again, I'll reiterate, we're not talking about the kapara for him, per se, we're talking about the effects. So, uvaloshen hara, aloshen hara, nami lokasha habitzina habifar hesya. Loshen hara spoken privately, so for that, Ketores provides a kapara. Loshen hara that spoke publicly, as a davershib a kol, so the pa'amonim worn by the Kohen Gadol, that provides a kapara. And again, go back to what I said earlier. In other words, not for the one who intentionally did these averas, but for the effects that were created by these averas. That's the kapara being provided. Hajj al-Akhmiz Bechmik.